This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dude. I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skidmark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Do you think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey. You want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
If I get drunk, well, I'll pass out on the floor now, baby. You won't bother me no more.
Hour number two here on Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan. Joe Fisher. Across the table is Rashad Taylor, as always. If you missed hour number one, you can get it wherever you get your podcasts. Jordan Schultz behind the glass, as always. Hour number two, though, is going to be a bit different right now because we got two guests. Two. I thought we were only going to have one. But how lucky are we to have two guests?
That's what I do. I provide surprises all the time.
Yes, you definitely surprised me with two guests. I mean, we've had different people in before as one, but we have two here today. We have Roy Pittman, coaching legend in the wrestling community here in Portland, owner of Peninsula Wrestling. And then we have Dr. Dustin Bindriff. I'm hoping I pronounced the last name right. Yes, they're both here in studio to talk about what Coach Pittman has done for the wrestling community. And then it's my understanding that Dr. Dustin here has helped a lot with the behavioral and mental health side of things with coaching kids in the wrestling game. And great to have you guys both here in the studio. Appreciate you coming in.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate it. I know it's early. Like, early on Sunday, you know, usually it's getting ready for church or usually something like that. So most people aren't usually able to come hang out for a little bit on Sunday. So I appreciate the both of you for being able to make it in.
Well, I can tell Coach Pittman, he already hit the mats this morning. He already got his workout in. I'm sure he was up at 5 a.m., 6 a.m., working out already. I'm already getting the vibes.
How'd you guess?
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. I have a feeling. He brought in the rings as well. Oh. The championship rings. Well, give me the backstory. What are both of those shiny rings on the fingers for?
Well, the first one is for Portland State when we won the national championships.
There you go.
2 years in a row.
2 years in a row?
Yeah.
Damn.
Took five guys. All five won national championships. And the other one, the red one, is I'm a gold coach for the United States.
Oh.
In wrestling, yes. One of the few we have in the world.
Nice.
If you didn't know, Coach Pittman was also a coach for the 1984 Olympic trials and or the trials,
Games.
Correct? Games.
Yeah.
Forgive me. So in Los Angeles.
Yes.
So yeah, this the resume is deep, really, for both of these guys. Like Coach Pittman, for those who don't know, legendary around the city of Portland. Over what? At this point, over 60, 70 state champions, somewhere around there.
I don't even count.
Yeah, don't even count. You stop counting anymore.
No,
I remember
count.
There was an article that came out like in 2000.
What a humble brag right there.
Seriously,
like,
right? There was an article that came out somewhere around 2014. I was looking up stuff the other day, and I said, man, and this is 2014. It said over 50 state champions, and that was then. And so 10 years later, I'm sure we've had, I know a few of them just being, coming to the gym and seeing some of those kids that are in there and just doing crazy stuff. I'll give you a story, Joe. So first day I take my son to wrestling, we show up on the wrong day. So like Mondays and Wednesdays or Fridays are days for like some of the younger students. Students are still learning. They're kind of, you know, kind of starting to cut their teeth in wrestling. And I think Tuesdays and Thursdays are for the big boys, for the ones that are, you compete nationally, like you're super, super dope. So went there the first day, and there's a young man there, and I'm looking at his feet and looking at him wrestling. I was like, oh, you definitely play football. And apparently he's going to University of Washington. Is that correct?
Yes, he is.
That's awesome. You can see his feet. Looks like he plays offensive line. The way he's moving is like, oh, he's going to be such a beast at some point. And so, and Dustin, I know your son wrestled for Peninsula. Is that correct?
I wrestled.
You wrestled for Peninsula.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, your brother and I. Yeah, okay.
I grew up there and then coached there for a number of years. He was a mentor for me, and now he's my friend.
Now, what do you remember about being a young student at Peninsula?
They were very good. Yeah. It was intimidating. I think one of the biggest things I always tell people I took away from them is, you know, the sport of wrestling and sports in general, you're going to learn a work ethic. Being at Peninsula, you get an understanding of what it takes to be the best and understanding that price. And then as you grow, you can transfer that into other arenas.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What I mean, and you have... Dustin, you've also done some pretty incredible things. For those who, like we, Joe mentioned earlier, Dr. Dustin, Doctor of Education, University of Washington alum. I know that's not going to make everybody
gonna
here
say, you know,
super happy.
As an Oregon Duck, you know, that ruffles my feathers, no pun intended, but we'll let it pass this time.
Yes. But also, he's also a Viking, also a Portland State Viking. Mm-hmm. So, I think we can you know, forgive you a little bit for going to Washington. But I just want to ask you, like, as someone who works in education, as someone who works with especially with students who may have some mental health disorders or disabilities or anything like that, how do you think wrestling can help those students, like, kind of come into their own?
Well, I guess I would start with first thing, sports in general is going to help. One of the surest ways to improve your mental health is physical exercise. The other big thing that's really special about Peninsula and why I wrote a book about belonging is it's a community. The other thing that's going to help your mental health is being around friends, being around people that you like and like you and want to be around you. So those are two very reliable ways where Peninsula and sports can offer that. I guess a lot of the reason for writing it, you know, you see in schools, it's really hard to find community anymore. You see a lot of it now. My book was really one of the first to talk about belonging, but you see, you know, the Surgeon General just talking about it as a social phenomenon where a lot of people feel very isolated and alone. So Peninsula is very unique. Like you said, over five decades, there's a very rich community. And that can't just be, you can't just replicate that.
Right.
That's earned. So, you know, that's why I love any chance I get to come and talk about Coach and what he does is a pleasure.
So, Rashad and Coach Pittman, you dropped the fact on me that you were part of the 1984 Olympic team coaching that team, correct?
Yeah.
Gotcha. What was your because we actually have the Olympics coming back to the U.S. What was that 2028?
Yeah,
I believe.
I think the next games, I believe.
So I mean, let's kind of go back down memory lane. What was your favorite other than all the winning that you did at the Olympics? But Was that the only Olympics you ever been a part of? But also, what was the most most fond memory from that 1984 Olympic summer?
Well, it wasn't the competition. It was walking out of opening ceremony.
Yeah.
Walking out and looking up and seeing all the people. And you see all those people there in the Coliseum, and you go, wow, I'm here.
Yeah, and I'm sure that had to be awesome just being here in the States, too, for that Olympics.
That was nothing. Then they turned pigeons loose. And you know, pigeons, they flock and they get nervous, and they flew one way. Then they flew the other way, then they flew off. And to all the spectators, it looked beautiful. But what do pigeons do when they get nervous?
Make a mess.
I was underneath those pigeons. So that's what I remember
the most.
That's
good luck, though. That's probably how we won. Like a lot of people say, if a bird poops on you, that's good luck. You know, those old wise tales.
Well, I guess that's why I'm lucky, because they really pooped on me. Let me tell you. So
that's awesome. That's awesome.
So 1984 Olympics, did you guys end up, you said five gold medals or five separate winners of gold medals?
This was for the national championships at Portland State.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay.
Different kind of wrestling.
Gotcha. Okay. Yes. So, I mean, how do you go about having that much success in the Olympics, like as a coach? I mean, there are so many great countries, great wrestlers all over the world, and it's, like, I'm looking at the track record from the 1984 Olympics right now of all the winners. I mean, it's like you guys ran roughshod in the Olympics that year. I mean, I see 9 golds, 13 total in just the wrestling category at the 84 Olympics. I mean, like, how do you coach a team that damn good where, I mean, Japan did all right, South Korea did okay, but you guys, again, 9 gold, the next closest country was 2. What was the formula for success that year?
Well, the formula, see, I was coaching for Colombia. And everybody, they always think about competition. And what I think about is output, not outcome. And if we get people to put out and do the best they can, the outcome will take care of itself. And we always think we can make winners. You can't make anything. People have got to make themselves. And myself, I don't coach wrestling. I coach kids. And I get kids to believe that they can do anything, they can.
Yeah. Now that's, I mean, as a father of a 12-year-old, Rashad's got a son as well. Trying to instill that like belief and self confidence and that work ethic, I feel like that is sometimes that mental game that, you know, Dr. Dustin is preaching. It's like trying to have that sense of like you do belong and you do. Have the ability to be up there with the best. Trying to get past those hurdles sometimes is tougher than trying to teach them just the fundamentals of a game sometimes, it seems like.
Well, imagine this. People make choices and decisions based on their perception and awareness. And we tell kids, this has to be fun.
Right.
No, it's not. This is work. You know, their definition of fun is different than your definition of fun. And we forget about that. So I say, hey, we're going to go to work. And that's why we teach them a work ethic.
Winning is fun. And once students get to a point to where they're comfortable and they start winning, that's when I think for a lot of people, the fun aspect might kick in. For, you know, at first, if you're trying to get good at anything, it's work, right? I mean, I think the fun part is being around peers, being around people your age. So there's the hard work that you do together. But in between there, like my favorite times in football when I was young, were doubles, daily doubles in that time. It's the hardest thing that we'll do.
Speak for yourself there.
No, it was the hardest thing that we'll do, but that's the one time, you know, all you and all your teammates are going to be together and cracking jokes and you take breaks together and you go eat together and you do everything like that. That's the fun part, but you know you're coming back to do real work and some real sweat after that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool.
You know, we show kids what they have in common with other kids of different races. Different ages.
Yeah.
And we use wrestling. We wrestle to make better choices because it's all about the choices you make now affect the rest of your life. And if you make good choices, good chances you'll be here. If you don't make good choices, you'll be in a place where you don't want to be.
Yeah, good point. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to get back to talking to Coach Roy Pittman and Dr. Dustin Beyendreef here on Sports Sunday, giving us some great stories about wrestling, but also, again, the mental behavioral aspect of sports and athletics. Again, Dr. Dustin Beyendreef, Roy Pittman here in studio with us, and Rashad on Sports Sunday. We'll get back to it right after this break.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back here on Sports Sunday here. We've got two guests in the studio. Coach Roy Pittman, coach of Peninsula Wrestling with a decorated resume in wrestling, part of the 1984 Olympic wrestling team as a coach where they won a ton of medals down there in L.A. And then we also have Dr. Dustin Beyendreef, but really a mental health behavioral coach for athletes. I mean, we're having some great conversations here in the commercial break. A quick question, though. I mean, you said that you had wrestled before and you wrestle at Peninsula Wrestling, but how did this relationship start? I mean, was it just a matter of you starting out as a wrestler, becoming a doctor and of education, and then realizing you can help in the wrestling community? How did you guys sort of forge this relationship here?
Oh, goodness. So probably fourth, fifth grade, I started wrestling for Coach. So probably 35 years ago, I was very lucky. My dad was big into wrestling. He liked Coach's message. He felt like Coach had the best interests of his sons, you know, not beyond just winning, but as a person. I went through I'm a troublemaker by nature, and I'm very good at it. So I would get into a lot of trouble, and Coach was always there. When no one else was. And that was a young adult. And then just 25 years ago, graduated college early, and so wanted to go give back a little. And Coach, you know, was very supportive, and it was just very rich, and you saw the need in kids, and it was very much a learning process. I didn't know what I was doing. I had an accounting background. I was going to business school, and I said, oh, I'm going to stay here and work with Coach and some of these kids. And that was the start of my journey with him. And, you know, Coach is reliable, and that's where you trust. I tell people, you know, there's not a lot of heroes left, and he's very consistent and steady, and he's a great role model, and he's been good to me, so I have the good sense to stick around him.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Coach, I want to ask you something. So my son and me, I guess, we are ginormous professional wrestling nerds. Like, we WWE, you know, all that stuff. Like, we get lost in it sometimes. As a somebody who's taught amateur wrestling, you know, for years, for over 50 years, like, how do you feel about wrestlers, especially people with awesome wrestling pedigrees, that decide to kind of take a turn and start competing, like, in a professional ranks for, like, pro wrestling?
Well, it's money.
Oh, for sure.
And it's fake.
I mean, yeah, it's definitely predetermined. For sure.
You just hurt Rashad in his soul so much right there.
Right, no, but it's definitely predetermined. I'll say this. All of my favorite wrestlers.
That's a good way to put it. Predetermined.
No,
not
seriously.
Fake.
It's predetermined. I mean, those injuries are super real that some of those guys face. But a lot of my favorite wrestlers are guys that have these amazing amateur backgrounds.
Yes.
Kurt Angle was one of my
that
favorite.
Was going to be my question, is if you ever got to meet Kurt Angle, because as a former someone who used to like watching wrestling, I know his whole shtick was I was a college champion.
He won
wrestler
the Olympics in 96. Yeah. You know, so that was his thing, you know. So
what they do is wrestling, the sport, there's not money involved.
No. Why is that though?
Because it's boring. It's boring. And wrestling, like Coach Dusty says, it teaches you a work ethic. What we do is we outwork everyone. We're not afraid. I give people a new friend called Pat, and they love Pat. And Pat are the acronyms of pain, agony, and torture with a positive attitude today. So we just get out and work. Where other people, they want the quick fix. They want the money. They think money will solve all their problems, and they find out in the long run that it doesn't, because there's a price for everything in life. And sometimes the price is too high.
Huh. That's fair, yeah.
And these guys like Bruce Baumgartner was probably the best big wrestler we had in the United States. You know, he's just a great, great guy, and he's still giving back to wrestling. But other people like Chael Sonnen, they want to go.
Ask.
Yeah, he wants to go in other directions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chael's a great guy. He's awesome. Tyrell Fortune, Mike Pierce, Matt Lindland, all these guys—they're great. But, you know, but now they want to go do other things, and that's okay. But they know how to do it. They're not afraid to work. They're not afraid to fail.
Maybe if I could add something. You know, one thing you see with kids, and it's very hard, I'm sure you guys know better than me as parents, is teaching them how to respond to adversity. And that's what a lot of this is, what wrestling does. It's hard. It's not fun. You're going to get beat up, nose broke, what have you. But life, you know, has that adversity. And we make some kids, we make the mistake, they're so sheltered once they get out in the world that they're really not prepared to handle those things. And so one of the things you see in the research, it's helpful, small stakes, mistakes as kids that they can recover from, learn, see, you fall down, you get up, that whole process. You know, better equips them, whereas, you know, you become a young adult and the first time somebody calls you a bad name, or, you know, you get a bad grade, or, you know, your parents get sick, and it can be very overwhelming if you haven't had any of that inoculation.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, again, we talked about it in the commercial break, and, you know, I think that there's a lot of dads that listen to our show and our station that have kids that are in athletics, and kind of mentioned in the last segment, too, is that trying to coach the kids on the mental game, that can sometimes be the toughest part than the actual fundamentals and techniques of certain sports. And again, I know this is a lot that both of you guys deal with. But as a father of someone, and I was telling you about the commercial break, is my son, he plays soccer, he plays basketball. He feels he has his skill level in soccer is right up there and that he's good to go. And so, like, trying to have him motivated in that area, it's usually not as much of a task as it is with basketball, where now he made a jump up to playing with a lot better kids, some kids that have the same height as him, but play a little bit more physical. It's always trying to find the right words and what's going to be the thing that kind of ticks. And lately I've been telling him, like, hey, I remember I didn't want to listen to my dad. And then stuff started to happen when I was 17 and 18 years old, where I was like, oh crap, my dad told me that when I was like 13, 14, and look what's happening now. As a dad, as a parent, what are maybe some suggestions for trying to coach your son or tell him or give him advice through those aspects, as you mentioned, the adversity, the hard work ethic, where, again, you want to make it fun, but you need to stress to them to the aspect, like, there are kids out there that are working and playing the game more physical, and how to essentially get that next level out of them where it does click for them, where they need to play it at a higher level, essentially.
Attitude. You know, I keep telling kids, you have to have the right attitude, because that will determine your altitude. And as a father or a mother, you cannot be objective with your own child. So you find someone else that will help you, and that's where a community comes in. Because a community will help you with your own child, especially during those times where they won't listen to you.
Yes, sir.
When you're out there competing, they don't hear you anyway.
Right, yeah.
You think they do, but they don't hear you.
Yeah, I've had to learn that the hard way, too. It was like, okay, I'm yelling here, but I for no don't reason. Think he's
you're
paying
just
attention.
Just annoying people. Don't be that dad. Don't be that person. You know, like, it's, you know, I'm sure we have a lot of coaches from that coach from the stands, yeah. You know, and a lot of sports. I'm curious. So I want to get both things, and I know we have to break here in a bit. But as a parent or and as a former wrestler, right, what's it like when you have a dad or somebody like barking at you from the stance about what your technique needs to be?
My dad was pretty intense. so we were very lucky too. Coach was very much a protector. Maybe that's, you know, some advice you could give parents. Find somebody you trust with your child. And so he was able to, coach was able to encourage my dad to, you know, take it easy and be sort of a buffer in that. And he had that level of trust and respect. And so I would encourage you, you know, it's about quality of people, not all these things you pay, but find people that, you know, you trust with your child and you respect how they treat your child and that you want your child to be around.
Yeah. I love this conversation again, because I feel like it definitely, you know, translates a lot to what our listeners are going through, maybe with their own kids, and, you know, whether they're in the middle school age or high school age, competing, or even in the college ranks as well. So I love having this conversation. We're going to take a quick commercial break and get back to it. I'm intrigued to talk a little bit more about professional sports as well, because I feel like this is something that we see a lot of in different leagues, is motivation, hard work, what people are doing it for, what is your why? You hear a lot, the reason behind people's motives. So I want to kind of get into that a little bit more here next. But in the studio, we have Coach Roy Pittman of Peninsula Wrestling and Dr. Dustin Beindriff of Peninsula Wrestling as well here in the studio on Sports Sunday. We will get back to them next. But first, Jordan Schultz with a Sports Center update. All right, back here on Sports Sunday, we got Coach Roy Pittman, Peninsula Wrestling coach, decorated wrestling coach for Portland State Vikings. Go Vikes, blow the horn. Also, 1984 U.S. Olympics coach as well, where they won a ton of medals out there. We also have Dr. Dustin Beindrief here in the studio as well, who's a coach over at Peninsula Wrestling, but does a great job with the mental health, behavioral aspect for wrestling and for those athletes over there. So great 1-2 punch having them in the studio here. Rashad passed me a flyer because he's just trying to do some self-promotion. He just wants people to come see him and hear his buttery vocals.
That's not true. You know what I mean? Like, so.
But on Saturday, March 15th, is the Two Style Classic out at Centennial High School. What are the ages in this? You said your boy is going to be wrestling.
Son,
in
this
it?
Will be my son's
again.
First adventure.
This is just self promotion for him. I feel like I think yeah, that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get some colleges to give his son a look. He's only thinking about himself.
Color
here.
Me selfish, man. Like, but it's one of those things. I want everybody to show up, not just to see my kid, but to see all these kids out there. I get a chance every Monday and Friday to go and watch. Wednesday nights I work, so I get a chance to go and see my son participate. I have to leave. I'll be honest. I think Coach sees it all the time. I have to leave the gym when my son is wrestling because he has a bad habit of looking at me the whole time. And I'm like, son, you can get your ass whooped out there if you're watching me instead of watching your opponent. And so I like to leave the gym because I feel like he doesn't have to focus on what dad is doing and if dad is watching and what dad thinks, and he can absorb all the information. And every day that I've done it, he comes home and has something new that he learned today. Oh, today we learned this, and today I learned how to this. And that's cool because I don't think he'd be able to get that same experience if I was there.
Well, he will. Kids seek approval. And a lot of boys and girls seek approvals from their parents. But their parents have to be aware of that, and that's why they have to shut up.
Oh, okay.
And that's the hardest thing to do, is to shut up when your son is out there or your daughter's out there getting worked.
Yeah.
You know,
I have to
just
tell them.
When they look at you, you just kind of throw your shoulders up. Like,
hey, man, like, what do you want? What do you want? What do we do?
And, you know what's happening out there.
You know, I just try to tell my son to, and I think the biggest thing for him, like a lot of students today, he has an issue with focusing, right? He's ADHD, like all the stuff, but he has a real issue like with honing in and doing stuff. And I can now see that he has no choice but to hone in.
Yes.
And kind of focus on things, because otherwise one wrong move and it's a wrap. I want to ask you, Dustin, as a former wrestler, what was that first, I guess, loss like for you? Do you remember that?
Oh, I think I started at four. So I remember,
geez.
I would be crushed because I was pretty hard.
What about that first loss? Is like I'm a little older, or was there a loss as you were?
Oh,
older?
There were plenty.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to assume that she was out there getting pinned.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's always hard. Absolutely. It's hard. It's crushing to your ego. You know, I have to applaud you for your willingness to step back. I feel like the kids that do the best with Peninsula, especially at your teenage years, I think of it like sort of it's an adventure and a vision quest for these teens to go have their adventure and discover themselves and their strengths. And so often when parents, you're trying to manage and control it, but it's for them. It's a chance for him to learn, I have to focus my attention, you know, but it's theirs. There's ownership in it. And so having that, that's where, you know, they have a chance to want something, to experience disappointment, to learn and grow from it. And so as a parent, maybe, you know, find those things where your son can learn, especially at those teenage years, and explore and find who they are and
right.
Sort of get out from being a son, if that makes sense.
So as far as other sports go, where do you think, do you see a correlation with wrestling and other sports? Like a lot of my wrestlers go and play this other sport, whether it's football. I feel like what you're talking about as far as the mentality, like there's probably a lot of hockey players that like to wrestle as well. But again, like where do you see like not just mentality, but also just the skills and things that are important physically in wrestling, what they translate best to in other sports?
Well, they have the ability to do anything. And the competence. Kids of today do not have the motor skills that they had in the 70s and the 80s.
It's fair.
Because we won't give them a chance to develop.
Or find skills like
yes.
That. That's one thing I was focusing with my son on is find skills right now.
At Peninsula, we give them a chance to develop. And I protect them from their parents because their parents sees one thing and I see another. You know, if you want to know what's down the road, you ask someone who's coming back, not someone who's going. And once these kids understand that, and Peninsula's a safe place where you can fail, you can do all this other stuff, and you won't be ridiculed. Your son gets in there, and he tries, and no one makes fun of him.
Now, the worst thing that happens in sports are overzealous parents. I think for me, that's the one thing that, whether you're talking youth basketball, youth soccer, any youth sport, parents usually, I used to do the Les Schwab Invitational and I would get a chance to sit in the front row and watch some of the best basketball players, high school basketball players in the country. But I could also hear some of the worst parents in the country back there that would curse out the refs, curse out the coaches.
Maybe there's a correlation.
Anybody, like, how do you, as a legendary coach who's accomplished more in wrestling than most people will ever dream to accomplish in their own field, how do you deal with parents and bystanders that are a little more ruly at events or a practice?
Well, one, I get a relationship with them. And I don't insult their intelligence. All I want them to do is to look at me differently. And I will have a relationship with their son, but I will give them back to you once the job is done.
Yeah, and nobody wants to get beat up by Coach Pittman for being rude at, you know. Yeah, I'm pretty sure if not you, then one of your many coaches would have no problem taking the parent down.
But once you see the process, you know, the process, it takes a long time to grow an old friend. And these parents, they see the end product and say, now, Coach Dusty here. I mean, I have people now that are one's head of the FBI, or their agents, or they're everything. But they get that drive through wrestling because they're not afraid to fail.
Now, I want to ask this because it brought me up. Again, I draw this all to kind of my personal experience, and I'll leave this to both of you to answer it. Is that player coach communication? Because my son, he'll communicate a lot of the things that he's feeling mentally in the game of basketball to me, or how he wants to, you know, play a certain way or wants certain opportunities. And I tell him, like, buddy, I hear everything you're saying and I can give you suggestions here, but these are conversations that you need to have with your coach. You need to communicate with him. So for kids that maybe, you know, are struggling to have that conversation with their coach, you know, what is the best way for them to approach that? I mean, like, I just tell them that communication is key in all aspects of life. So what is maybe that barrier or something to help them get over that aspect of maybe they're intimidated by their coach? Maybe they are just scared that they're not going to be able to formulate the right ways to present what their issues are. What are maybe some suggestions for parents to tell their kids and how to approach that conversation? Because, yeah, I just tell them all the time. I'm like, I'm not going to talk to coach for you. Like, if there's certain things you want out of this game and you want to have that happen, you're gonna have to talk to him. So maybe some suggestions in that space for athletes and their parents of athletes.
What I do is I give a kid a voice, and I listen to the voice. Their definition of a coach is what we put in their brains. And all coaches are not going to listen. All coaches aren't going to do what they want them to do. So you find a coach that will.
You know, I want to see Coach Pittman mad. I'll be honest.
I don't.
You've been
mad at someone else, not me.
No, you've been around for a long time, Dustin. What's Coach Pittman like when he's mad? Or do you know? Have you ever seen him?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's having flashbacks
When you're not performing to your potential, it's very direct. It's very clear that that's not acceptable. I do want to maybe coach does something that's very unique and very special. At the start of every practice, every kid, as they come in, they walk in and they shake hands and look all the coaches in the eye and say, hi, how are you? You know, one thing, so we're working on that communication you're talking about. They're comfortable talking to their coach. You know, that's a lot of what I see in schools. The other thing I tell people, you know, we were talking the other day, teach kids how to be the kid that somebody wants to help. So how do you show your coaches, your teachers, other people that you want to learn, that you have this? And a lot of kids, they don't know how to express that. And so teaching them how do I show the coach I really want to learn this, and asking those questions, getting them comfortable talking to people that are, you know, they're superiors, we'll call them in this sense, they're coaches, whether it's teachers, and being comfortable with that. And then they're heard, right? And that's so much of it. And then now they feel like they're a part of a team. So it's a great question. And yeah, really teach your kid. How do you show your teacher that you want to learn this even though you're not good at it?
Yeah. That's a conversation I have with my son a lot is that, you know, being coachable is obviously great, but showing that you want to be coached, you know, that's a little bit different, right? Like being able to be told something a coach is telling, but going and approaching that challenge and reaching out to the coach and saying, I want to get better. I want to do this. Can you show me? How do I do this? That's a lot different than just standing there and having the coach talk at you. So, yeah. We're going to take a quick break. We're almost wrapped up here on Sports Sunday, but love these conversations we're having with Coach Roy Pittman and Dr. Dustin Beindrief here on Sports Sunday. We get to that next year. Sports Sunday, 10 of the Fan. All right, last segment here on Sports Sunday. Coach Roy Pittman of Peninsula Wrestling, decorated wrestling coach here. Not just in the Portland area, but in the United States of America. Was a coach of the 1984 U.S. Olympic team. And then Dr. Dustin Beindrief of also Peninsula Wrestling, doing great things for the mental health behavioral aspect of the wrestling community.
And as far as we know, this is the first doctor that we've had on any one of the shows.
Yeah, I feel
suck
like that's
prime time.
I feel like you're paying that money to get that MD behind your name that you let as many people know about that as possible.
Absolutely.
So
do you do you introduce yourself as Dr. Dustin?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
No, all the time.
I would all the time. Hi, I'm Dr. Rashad. Nice to meet you. You know, I'm a doctor. I don't need to take this. I'm a doctor. Like us, that's how I would talk to everybody all the time. But the Peninsula Superstars presents a two-style classic. Coach Pittman, tell us a little bit about the two-style classic and really how it came about.
Okay, two-style is the style that we do here in America is folk style, but the style that they do all over the world is freestyle. So we're going to do folk style and freestyle to introduce kids. Kids that might not want to do freestyle can do folk style.
Okay, okay.
And once again, this is for kids. It's not for me. And it's for the sport.
Sorry, Rashad. You're not going to be able to throw around children.
I had my singlet and everything. I had my Peninsula singlet ready to go. Okay. Like, I'm trying to compete. There needs to be an adult section of this. But what do you look forward? What do both of you look forward? Because this is an annual event. So what do you look forward to about this event every year? I'll start with you, Dustin.
It's probably one of the best examples of community you'll find. You know, you have all the alumni come in. There's face painting. There's clowns. There's oftentimes dancers. There's all kinds of performers. It's very much a party. It's coaches.
It sounds like a party.
Yeah, there's everybody brings all the parents bring their best dish, and it's there for free for the parents and the coaches. So it's very much a community event. It's really a special thing to me, and for the kids. It's for the kids, and everybody puts their best foot forward. It's a chance for the families and coaches to represent their team, and they go all out and do a great job.
Well, what's really cool about Peninsula Wrestling, and you know, I don't know if it was brought up earlier in the show or during a commercial break, but is that you get wrestlers from all over. You know, with the location being in North Portland, I mean, this being in Centennial High School, it's not like, oh, just kids from, you know, around 182nd in the Gresham area, kids in North Portland. You're getting people. You said he had a kid from Tillamook come to Peninsula Wrestling the other day.
He just wants to come in. He wants to get better. And if you want to get better, this is the place.
Mm.
No pressure.
There's no basketball place like that. There's no football place like, man, you know what? I'm going to go over to take a ride out to Salem because they're really training kids great to be professional football players or to be on the next level for basketball. Like, so this is one of the only places I know that students come from all around the city to say, you know what? I want to be trained right here.
Yeah, that's what I was impressive to hear is that, because that's a tough thing with being a parent too, is like, all right, well, where can I fit in? What's most convenient? What's closest to the house? But again, it sounds like you just get kids coming from all over for your gym, which speaks volumes.
Well, most programs today are a business.
Yeah. I mean,
Peninsula is still a program.
And the business usually benefits the adults.
Yes. So. And this is still a program. It's for kids. And I make parents aware of that. No one's special. No one's better than anyone else. And you develop at your own time. And once again, everything there is volunteer. And we've been doing this for 55 years. Kids are the medicine for this country. They're the medicine that can heal it. So I want to make sure the country takes this medicine, because a 10-year-old will be 20 years old in 10 years. And they'll grow up to be like a Coach Dusty here.
Hmm.
I mean, I've had over 200,000 kids come through the program. And they're out there now. They're disciples. They're out there now.
That's insane. My supervisor's daughter for, I work for Portland Public Schools. It's my day job. And my supervisor's daughter happens to be now a two-time state champion and is actually one of Coach Pittman's wrestlers, one of the star pupils. And, I just, as a person from Portland, as a person from the neighborhood, as a person that grew up across the street from Peninsula Park, and I've had so many amazing memories of that park, and some great, some bad. Now, I can't tell you how much I personally appreciate you and what you've done for this community, what you've done for Portland. You have an imprint on so many students. You've had an imprint on so many students' lives, so many families' lives, people that have gone on to do some great things because of you, including Dr. Dustin here. And a lot of that, with a lot of his influence, he says, comes from Coach Roy Allen Pittman. So yeah. I appreciate you. And I appreciate you as well, Dr. Dustin, for giving back. That's one of the hardest things to do, is people for them to come back from wherever they kind of earned some success and come back to where they're from and really kind of impart that type of knowledge on students and families. So I appreciate you for what you've been able to do.
Yeah, appreciate you guys coming in. For more information, where do they need to go, Coach?
We have a website, but you can come to Peninsula Park, look in Parks and Rec. We have a place there, but peninsulawrestling.org, it tells about our program, tells about what we do, why we do it, and how we do it.
Awesome.
Perfect.
And this program is for you. I do this. I have a granddaughter, and I do it for her.
That's awesome.
Because we have to model the behavior that we want our kids to have. Okay. If we don't model it, they'll pick their own model.
Yeah, right. Well, you are a great role model, sir. I appreciate you coming in, and it's clearly worked on Dr. Dustin there. It's worked on Rashad. Appreciate meeting you and you coming into the studio.
March 15th.
Dr. Dustin, appreciate you and everything you're doing as well, on not just the physical side of the sport and athletics, but on the mental side as well. So appreciate you coming into the studio as well, sir.
Thank you. You should buy his book.
Not a bad idea.
His book is awesome.
Yeah, perfect. Well, again, appreciate you gentlemen coming in today. It's great, great Sunday to have you guys in. Rashad, every Sunday, appreciate you as always.
Love you, my G.
Jordan Schultz, appreciate you guys as always.
Love you guys. Love you all.
My man.
I will be out for next weekend because of a basketball tournament down in state. So some great things to instill in my son. Great timing to give him an I Believe card before he goes to the state basketball tournament down there in Bend.
Absolutely.
But for everybody out there listening, if you missed this last hour, go back and podcast it. Some great stuff. If you are a parent of a athletic child in middle school, high school, or college ranks. But I will catch you guys in 2 weeks. But Rashad and Jordan will catch you all next Sunday on Sports Sunday at 9 a.m. Peace.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.